堂听 class.com。
First section of the test is listening comprehension. All the directions for this section are given on the recording you will hear in a moment. Remember, the directions for the listening comprehension section and the actual test questions will be spoken at a normal rate of speed. That is, they will be spoken faster than the instructions you are now hearing. On side 2 of your answer sheet, find the answer spaces for section 1 of the test.Now, read the general directions on the back of your test book. Look up when you have finished. Supervisor, please stop the recording. When everyone is ready, begin the listening comprehension section of the test that continues on this recording.
Test of English as a foreign language. Break the seal and open your test book to the first page. Read the directions for section 1 in your test book as you listen to the directions on this recording. Do not read ahead or turn the pages until you are told to do so. Section 1, Listening Comprehension. In this section of the test,You will have an opportunity to demonstrate your ability to understand conversations and talks in English. There are three parts to this section, with special directions for each part. Answer all the questions on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in this test. Do not take notes or write in your test book at any time. Do not turn the pages until you are told to do so. Part A, Directions.In Part A, you will hear short conversations between two people. After each conversation, you will hear a question about the conversation. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen.Here is an example. On the recording, you hear,
I don't like this painting very much.
Neither do I.
What does the man mean? In your test book, you read, A. He doesn't like the painting either. B. He doesn't know how to paint. C. He doesn't have any paintings. D. He doesn't know what to do. You learn from the conversation.That neither the man nor the woman likes the painting. The best answer to the question, what does the man mean, is A. He doesn't like the painting either. Therefore, the correct choice is A. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part A with the first conversation. Number 1.
I'm not going swimming in the lake unless it warms up outside today.
Me neither. Unfortunately, I think it's supposed to stay this cold all day.
What can be inferred about the speakers? Number 2.
That sweater, it's so unusual, and yet it looks familiar. Did I just see you wearing that yesterday?
Well, not me, but see, it belongs to my roommate, Jill, and she's in your chemistry class.
What does the woman imply? Number 3.
This toothache is killing me.I was hoping it would just go away, but it's getting worse by the minute. What did you say the name of your dentist was?
I told you last week to make that appointment.
What does the man imply? Number 4. You want to go to a lecture tonight over in the science auditorium? It's some guy who spent a year living in Antarctica.
No kidding. I'm doing a report on Antarctica for my geography class. Maybe I could get some good information to add to it.
What does the woman mean? Number 5.
I'd really like to learn how to play chess, but it looks so complicated. It seems like it would take a really long time to learn.
Well, it takes a long time to get good at it, but we could go over the basics this afternoon if you want.
What does the man imply?
Number 6. Do you think you could lend me that novel when you're finished with it? I've been looking all over for a copy, but apparently it's sold out at all the bookstores.
Oh, it's not mine. It belongs to Alice. But I'll see what she says.
What will the woman probably do? Number 7.
Are you going to try some of this chocolate pudding? It's incredible.
Well, to be honest with you, I've never been a big fan of chocolate.
What does the man imply? Number 8.
Why don't we go catch the new Italian film at the Pine Street Cinema?
That's a little out of the way, don't you think? It's playing just up the street at the Grove, too, you know.
What does the man suggest they do? Number 9.
Hi. I know Dr. Wilson's out of town at a conference, but I was wondering, since she won't be back till next week, if you could check in your computer records and find out how I did on her midterm exam?
I'm sorry, miss, but I'm not authorized to give out that kind of information.
What does the man mean? Number 10.
You wouldn't believe the line at the auto inspection center. I waited more than 2 hours to get through it.
That's what you get for waiting until the last day of the month.
What does the woman imply? Number 11.
You know, I'll be conducting my psychology experiment this Saturday, and I'm going to have my hands full. So I was wondering if you could help me. Maybe you could register the subjects and ask them a few questions as they come in.
I've got some work of my own to do, but I guess I can make some time. Just let me know what I'm supposed to do.
What does the man mean? Number 12.
Did you ever get around to cashing that refund check from the bookstore?
Oh, gosh, you know what? I must have mislaid that in my desk somewhere. But thanks for reminding me. My funds are running low, so I'd better find it soon.
What will the man probably do? Number 13.
It sounds like Karen isn't happy at all with her new roommate. Did she say why?
Believe me, I tried to find out, but I simply couldn't pin her down.
What does the man mean? Number 14.
Oh, Professor Jackson, I was wondering what, if you've had a chance yet to look at my thesis proposal.
Well, I know you gave it to me over a week ago, but to be honest, I've been swamped with other things.
What does the professor imply? Number 15.
That's a shame about your car. Talk about bad timing.
Yeah, and just a few months ago, I put $400 into it in the hope it would make it through another year.
What can be inferred about the man's car? Number 16.
This stew is delicious. I'd love to be able to make it myself.
Why not? You can get all the ingredients at any supermarket. Here, let me get a pencil and paper.
What will the woman probably do next? Number 17.
So how was the drama club's new production last night? Did I miss out on anything good?
Hardly. I kept looking at my watch the whole time.
What does the man mean? Number 18.
I see you haven't gotten that program to run on your computer yet. Want me to go over the instruction manual with you?
That would be great. You need a PhD to understand it.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 19.
How do I get one of those green buckets everyone here puts out at the curb for paper recycling?
Oh, just call up the sanitation department. They'll deliver a bucket at no charge.
What does the man suggest the woman do? Number 20.
There's nothing I like better to get me started in the morning than a big breakfast. Eggs, bacon, home-fried potatoes.
Not me. All that fatty food would give me a stomach ache. I prefer something light, like fruit or a yogurt.
What does the woman mean? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
What's the problem, Paul? You really look panicked.
I'm speaking to a group of high school students about engineering this afternoon, but I have no idea how I'm going to simplify some of the concepts for them.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 22.
Well, I'm never doing this again. 7 courses in 1 semester is just too much. I don't have a minute to myself.
I hate to say this, but I told you so.
What does the man mean? Number 23.
Do you think we could use your pickup truck to take the telescopes out to the field again this weekend?
To be honest, I've got a lot of dents in my truck from the last field trip. Maybe someone else can help out this time.
What does the man imply? Number 24.
Do you think Dr. Luby will lead a theater trip to Broadway in New York City again this year?
I don't think so. I know so. And I've already signed up for it.
What does the woman mean? Number 25.
Tomorrow we're having our first test in my history class. I'm really worried about it. You've taken one of Dr. Parker's tests, haven't you? I hear they're impossible to pass.
I don't know who you've been talking to. My experience was just the opposite.
What does the man imply? Number 26.
I haven't turned on my air conditioner at all this summer.
That's surprising, considering how hot it's been lately.
What does the woman find surprising? Number 27.
Hey, congratulations on winning the essay contest. That $1,000 prize money should really come in handy.
You bet. I've already put it aside to cover the increase my landlord just announced for next year.
What does the man mean? Number 28.
You know, we never went over chapter 16 in class. What do you think the odds are that Dr. Baum will include it on the test?
He's been known to do things like that, so I wouldn't put it past him.
What does the man say about Dr. Baum? Number 29.
I heard that only 20% of summer jobs in this part of the country are advertised. The other 80% are filled some other way.
Really? Then maybe I need to change my job search techniques.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 30.
I don't remember the assignment offhand, but I've got it written down at home. How about if I call you tonight?
If you call before 9, just leave a message with my roommate.
Why will the man call the woman? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Longer conversations. After each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a conversation between 2 students in the lounge of a college dormitory.
Hi, Kevin. Your roommate told me I could find you in the TV lounge. What are you doing here?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Well, it looks like you're watching television, but we have a linear algebra midterm tomorrow, so I thought you'd be studying for it, and maybe I could study with you.
Oh, well, I was just taking a break. This linear algebra stuff gives me a headache if I work on it too long.
I know what you mean. I've been working on it for 3 hours straight already. I'm beginning to go cross-eyed from staring at the sample problems. I just don't get some of them.
But I can't believe you're coming to me. I mean, you do know what I got on the last test, don't you?
Yeah, I know. You told me. I just thought 2 heads might be better than 1.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. But, you know, I wish I knew that person in our class who got 100 on the last test. She didn't miss a question. Was it Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. She's a friend of mine. She'd be a big help right now.
Why don't I give her a call?
What, at this hour? It's already 10:30. I don't want to impose on her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But you know what? She owes me a big favor. Let's at least give her a call and see what she says. Maybe going over some of the problems with us would help her review the material.
It's worth a try.
Number 31. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Number 32. Why is the man watching television? Number 33. Why is the man surprised that the woman wants to study linear algebra with him? Number 34. Why doesn't the man want to call Elizabeth? Questions 35 through 39. Listen to two students talking about their engineering class.
Hello?
Hi, Amy. This is Bill Jones.
Oh, hi, Bill. You weren't in engineering class today, were you?
I have the flu. I was wondering if you could tell me what went on.
Actually, we had an interesting class. Dr. Collins talked about a new type of fuel.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. It's called dimethyl ether, or DME.
Oh, I remember reading something about DME. It's mostly used in spray cans, right?
Right. DME doesn't destroy the ozone, so it's environmentally friendly.
But doesn't DME pollute the air if it's burned in an engine?
No. Dr. Collins said something about its exhaust being clear, that it doesn't release as many pollutants as diesel fuel. And he mentioned something about DME being more efficient than other alternative fuels.
So when will it replace diesel fuel?
Not for a while. It's not economical to mass produce.
Well, thanks for the information. I guess I won't need to borrow your notes.
Well, maybe you should look at them. We're having a test next week.
Okay. Could you give them to Mike Andrews? I think he's in your psychology class. He's my roommate.
Sure. I hope you're feeling better soon.
Thanks. Me too. Bye.
Bye.
Number 35. What is the conversation mainly about? Number 36. Why is the woman giving the man the information? Number 37. What effect will the increased use of DME instead of diesel fuel probably have? Number 38. According to the conversation, why won't DME be on the market soon? Number 39. Why does the woman suggest the man look at her notes? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear, "Listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program."
"I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful."
Now listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your test book, you read, A, to demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B, to discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C, to explain the workings of the brain. D, to dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, what is the main purpose of the program, is C, to explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your test book, you read, A, it is required of all science majors. B, it will never be shown again. C, it can help viewers improve their memory skills. D, it will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, why does the speaker recommend watching the program, is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 40 through 43. Listen to part of the talk in the literature class.
Okay, you'll remember I've mentioned that it's important to read the assigned poems aloud so you can develop an appreciation of the sounds of the poetry, the rhymes, the rhythm, the repetition of words or sounds, and to get a sense of the interplay between the sounds of the words and their meaning. This is really critical as we move into modern poetry, especially by writers who place so much importance on sounds that the meaning becomes all but irrelevant. Like this line by Gertrude Stein that I like to quote. Listen. Listen as I say the words. Rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. Taken literally, this would seem to be an empty statement, one which gives us no information. But the purpose of a poem need not be to inform the reader of anything, but rather to evoke feeling, to create a sensual, aesthetically pleasing experience. Now, Gertrude Stein was better known for her prose than for her poems, but I like to quote this line because of its musicality and because I think it helps open up our awareness to the unconventional lyricism of contemporary poets. You'll see this in your homework tonight, as you read the poetry of John Ashbery, especially if you read it out loud, which I recommend you do. Poets like Ashbery don't rely so much on any formal rhyme scheme or meter as on the musical quality of the individual words themselves. As I said, Stein was better known for her non-poetic work, and now I'd like to touch briefly on her essay entitled Composition and Explanation. This work deals with her theory of writing, and will help to explain some of the things we've been talking about.
Number 40. What does the professor mainly discuss? Number 41. What does the professor say about Gertrude Stein as a writer? Number 42. Why does the professor quote the phrase, "Rose is a rose"? Number 43. What does the professor recommend the students do as part of their homework? Questions 44 through 46. Listen to a talk in a class about United States history.
Last week, you recall, we discussed the early development of railroads in the United States. Today, I want to mention an even earlier form of transportation, one that brought the first European settlers to America, and that's the wooden sailing ship. From colonial times, sailing ships were vital to the economy. Many coastal towns depended on fishing or whaling for employment and income. This was especially true in the northeastern states. And there, the wood from nearby forests and the skills of local designers and workers also formed the basis of an important shipbuilding industry. But the big profits were to be made on trade with faraway places. And since sea captains often became part owners of their ships, they had a strong interest in the commercial success of their voyages. So these Yankees, that's what U.S. sailors and officers came to be called, they carried on a very profitable trade with other parts of the world. The high point of this trade came in the mid-19th century with the introduction of the clipper ship. The enormous Yankee clippers with huge sails reaching nearly 200 feet into the sky could carry passengers and cargo from New York around South America to San Francisco in less than 3 months and clear to China in just half a year. At that time, this seemed unbelievably fast and efficient. But in the 1860s, more reliable steam-powered ships began to take over, and soon the important role of sailing ships in the U.S. economy would come to an end.
Number 44. What aspect of United States history does the professor mainly discuss? Number 45. According to the professor, what may be one reason for the success of the merchant ships of the United States? Number 46. What does the professor say about clipper ships? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to part of the talk in a class on early childhood education. The professor is discussing penmanship, the quality of one's handwriting.
As you prepare to become elementary school teachers, you'll be hearing a lot of discussion about the relevance of teaching penmanship. Now, years ago when I was studying education in college, reading, writing, and arithmetic were the basics of elementary school education. It went without saying that writing meant, first and foremost, penmanship. That is, the neatness of a child's handwriting. Back then, penmanship was often taught as a separate subject, from the first grade right up through the sixth grade. Long after the children had moved from writing in block capital letters to cursive script, it was considered so important that sometimes prizes were even awarded for the best handwriting. But when we move ahead a few decades into the 1980s, we see teachers, administrators, even parents telling us that teaching penmanship is a waste of time. With computers, they said, children can successfully manipulate the keyboard or mouse of their home computers before they can even hold a pencil. This change in attitude had an impact on the classroom. In your homework for this week, you'll be looking at what statewide curriculum standards in the U.S. say about penmanship. You'll see that in many states, penmanship has been de-emphasized in the required curriculum, especially in the later years of elementary school. In California, for example, the curriculum calls for fourth grade students to, and I quote, write fluidly and legibly in cursive or joined italics, essentially a level appropriate for fourth graders. But after this, the curriculum makes no further mention of penmanship in grades 5, 6, or beyond. Any higher level of quality or neatness is simply not among the curricular objectives. Your assignment is to look at what the curricular standards for all 50 states say about penmanship.
Number 47. What is the professor's main point about penmanship in early childhood education? Number 48. Why does the professor mention prizes? Number 49. What will the students read about for homework? Number 50. What does the professor quote from California's curriculum requirements? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1. This is a reminder. At the end of the test, the supervisor will collect all of the test books. You may not leave until all of the test books have been collected. End of recording.